Welcome to Capital Talk, our weekly legislative analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I'm joined by University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldine and veteran Capital reporter Chuck Johnson of the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. And Chuck, Republican leaders have been meeting with Governor Bullock to get some tax legislation that is crucial to the session wrapping up its business, and they're sending a budget to the governor. And so a lot has happened in the last week.
That's right, Sally. We're getting down to the end, and this is when the deal-making happens. The tax negotiations we heard about when the Senate Majority Leader Fred Thomas, a Republican from Stevensville, stood up and announced it on the floor, and the next thing you know, every reporter was running up to try to catch him. Not too many details yet, but he did show a sign of good faith by letting a couple of bills important to Democrats reach the floor. One was the earned income tax credit, and the other was one that the governor really wants as well. That's a bill that would give tax credits to businesses that hire apprentices, and an even bigger tax credit if the apprentices are veterans. We don't yet know what the want from the Republicans is, but if it's anything that gives big tax breaks to businesses, I can't imagine that Governor Bullock would go along with it. The budget is the one thing that's in place right now, at least as far as it goes. Both houses have passed the budget. What Governor Bullock will do with the budget is up in the air. He hasn't received the bill yet. He's been highly critical that through the session, a lot of his priorities didn't get in there, and there were certainly some major changes. He has limited options short of vetoing it, and if he vetoes it, they'll have to start the whole budget over again. And this is a budget that took better part of 2 months to come up with in subcommittees. So I don't know what he'll do. He can do amendatory vetoes on certain parts, I believe, but he can do what they call a line item veto. But I think you can only subtract money with the line item veto. I don't think you can add money. So it'll be really interesting to see what he decides to do. If he decides to veto the budget, we might be looking at a lengthy session or a special session. I don't think he wants that either.
Well, Chuck, not everyone on the Democratic side of the aisle is happy with the budget that's been sent to the governor, certainly. And House Minority Leader Jenny Eck wishes there was a fairer tax system to avoid some painful spending cuts.
Why would we say that that has to be the choice? And meanwhile, ignore the fact that we continue to refuse to hold out-of-state corporations and multimillionaires to a higher standard and protect our working folks.
But Appropriations Chairwoman Nancy Balance chided Eck for her support of a new historical society museum.
Let's talk about whether or not it's fair to increase taxes and then spend that money not on education, not on health care, not on working people, but on a new museum in Helena.
That was somewhat of a testy exchange, Chuck.
It was, and it pretty well sums up the situation. The Democratic Governor Steve Bullock and Democratic legislators have made a real issue of tax fairness this time, and I would expect that to continue in the next election cycle. Whereas Republicans are saying, we've funded the basics, no need to raise taxes for a new museum or new university buildings or remodeling. So that's really what it comes down to. Republicans have the votes and they'll probably get what they want. But I think these are issues that are ones that Democrats will really use in the future as well.
And of course, they're still negotiating infrastructure and how that's going to be funded, something they've been talking about all session long and still have to resolve. And that's key to the session ending on time as well.
Absolutely. And I don't know where it's at right now. There are two bills. One has not gotten sufficient votes in the House. That's Senator Cuff's bill, which is about $78 million. And then there is the Senate bill by Senator Eric Moore, and it's for $98 million. And I have not heard the latest. I keep asking, and nothing's moving so far on it, but they're going to have to negotiate a level if they're going to get anything or end up with nothing in terms of bonding. They have passed many millions of infrastructure bills that would give money to local governments for water, sewer, county roads, that sort of thing. But the big bonding bills are the one that's left.
Well, Rob, there's lots also going on in Montana's U.S. House race, and Donald Trump Jr. has come out to shoot prairie dogs with the Republican Greg Gianforte. And obviously, his visit hopes to get Trump supporters out to the polls on May 25th.
Right, exactly. I mean, I think what we're seeing from Gianforte now is that their strategy appears to be centered around the determination that basically all he needs to do is go after the Republican base. And I think this does make sense because last fall, there were lots of people who pulled the lever for Donald Trump and for Ryan Zinke, but not for Greg Gianforte. So I suspect they look back at that governor's race and conclude that the problem wasn't that Gianforte was insufficiently moderate or that he needs to try harder to break off a slice of Democratic voters. No, all he really needs to do is get more Trump-Zinke voters. And that really should be an achievable task. If he's able to do that, he wins this thing. So this is a pure base strategy. It's not designed necessarily to produce an epic landslide or to find some common ground with progressives, but it's a sensible strategy for getting the win, even with Trump's dicey poll numbers and shaky start. Now, to be sure, I think it does carry a risk in that it always seems at least plausible that the whole Trump thing could implode at any moment and drag down everyone else with it. But bottom line, if you've concluded that you need more Trump voters, it certainly makes sense to campaign with Junior and more generally to embrace the president in the way we've seen Gianforte do from the beginning of this campaign.
Well, besides shooting prairie dogs, televisions and computers are targets for Gianforte and Democrat Rob Quist. Here's Quist's latest TV ad.
For generations, this old rifle has protected my family's ranch. In Congress, I'll protect your right to bear arms because it's my right too. I won't stand by while a millionaire from New Jersey tries to attack my Montana values.
I'm Rob Quist, and I approve this message to defend your rights.
But I'm sending this one to defend mine.
In this ad, Quist is shooting a television showing an ad attacking him. And Rob, this is a total ripoff of an ad run in another previous campaign that featured former Governor Brian Schweitzer.
Yeah, and not just that. These ads where you shoot things are becoming a little ridiculous. At this point, they've basically become their own genre of political advertising in Montana. We have positive ads, attack ads, and ads in which you shoot stuff that you don't like. And yeah, we've seen it from Brian Schweitzer shooting federal ID cards and a television that's oddly located in the middle of a forest. We've also seen it, though, from Matt Rosendale shooting down federal drones. So these spots from Quist and Gianforte, while certainly memorable, they are knockoffs. And it's rather hilarious, I think, that they both released one on the same day. You know, one other thing that struck me about the Quist ad is that we see here Quist personally is now using this old line about Gianforte in New Jersey. We heard this a lot last fall in the governor's race, but as I recall, Steve Bullock wasn't out there saying that directly himself. I think it was just surrogates leveling that charge. And that was for good reason, because as we've talked about on occasion, it's just plain wrong by any reasonable standard.
Well, you mentioned Greg Gianforte also has a new ad with the same shtick.
Rob Quist wants to establish a national gun registry. Your name, your address, your guns in a big government computer, making it easier for federal bureaucrats to grab your guns. It's time to fight back.
And as you say, Rob, this has become a genre of its own. I don't know how voters are going to respond, if they're going to laugh at these ads or if they're going to go, oh, please.
Right. You know, another thing that strikes me as a little bit odd in the Gianforte ad here is his reference to a big government computer. He sent out an email Thursday night with the same line, as though there's one very, very large computer back in Washington on which sensitive information is going to be stored. It just kind of conveys an image that seems very 1980s or something, and it is just kind of a weird formulation for a guy from the technology sector in 2017. You know, but more substantively, I mean, what these ads are about is Quist and the Second Amendment. And one thing history teaches us is that Democrats who win statewide in Montana, they can be to the left of their constituency on a lot of issues and still win, but guns are something of a third rail. And that's, of course, very frustrating to gun control advocates who feel like even the most mild efforts at keeping guns out of the hands of violent and dangerous people, it gets totally demagogued. But the reality is, you're in big trouble in Montana if you're branded as anti-gun. And that's why Republicans have been hitting this issue so hard since the very day Quist got the nomination. And it's why Quist is pushing back so strongly with what is, I think, clearly his most memorable ad so far.
Chuck, both national parties are now putting money into this race, though the National Democratic Party has come in later than the Republicans, and Bernie Sanders is headed to Montana soon to campaign for Quist. Do these outside forces bringing money and personalities and national figures into Montana, do you think, Chuck, it helps or hurts candidates in the end? Because Montanans often don't like outsiders mucking in their business.
I think it can cut both ways, Sally. I remember back in the 1980s when a national conservative group called NCPAC put in money against John Melcher when he was running for re-election to the Senate. And Melcher's campaign ran a memorable ad showing a talking cow watching this out-of-state slickster getting on an airplane with $100 bills flying out of his briefcase. But nowadays, we see those kind of ads all the time, and I don't know if the public identifies that it's an in-state or out-of-state or a Montana group or a national group. I think they just see it as part of a process and maybe part of a process they don't really like.
What do you think, Rob?
I think Chuck is right. I mean, it can cut both ways. I mean, my sense is we have some high-profile visits coming up here in Montana. For the reasons I said earlier, I mean, I think the Trump visit is probably one that is more beneficial for Gianforte. And as we talked about last week, the Sanders visit, which is now confirmed, Bernie Sanders is coming back to Montana. I'm less certain about that one. Obviously, you got to get your base out, but the Democratic base is already extremely fired up. The concern with the Sanders visit is whether that's a plus or a minus in some of these more conservative areas of the state that Quist really needs to do well in. But I think when it comes to the money coming in, that's probably an unmitigated good. And we have seen this week that the Democratic Party is finally throwing some towards Quist. The exact amount is not totally clear. In the six figures is all we've heard. But I think there's no downside to that.
Well, you have been listening to Capital Talk, our weekly legislative analysis program. I'm Sally Mock, and I've been speaking with University of Montana political science professor Rob Saldin and veteran Capital reporter Chuck Johnson of the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. And I'm going to go home and guard my computer and my television. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you, Sally.